Hey folks, I hope you're enjoying the Honeymooners podcast with Joe Conti and Louis Fats. I'm Frank Ablawi, the executive producer of the Nonproductive Network. And I'm starting off today's show with two important announcements. First, today's trivia question is a repeat of one from a few days ago, because these blathermouths never write down any notes. In lieu of answers, feel free to make fun of them in the comments. Second, we're making new episodes of the Honeymooners podcast available early for all Patreon supporters. Just go to patreon.com/nonpro for details and get your name or the name of a loved one mentioned on air for your donation. Thanks, and on with the show.
Testing, hot out, bound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You on the air?
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. What's happening, all you hurricanes and best pals? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
I'm on the air.
The only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We are in the Nonproductive Studios in Clifton, New Jersey, and that's where our show can be listened to on non-productive.com. And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. We are at episode number 6, and we are really getting some really good feedback. People are really enjoying this. I really, in my head, when we first thought about doing this, I said, this could be great. But there was that evil little thing, that awful self-esteem that I have. Then I go, this is going to be terrible. Like, we're just going to sit there and talk about a show. And people are really, really enjoying it.
They are. I'm getting positive feedback, and I'm not even on social media.
Right. Yeah, this is what happens. Louis calls me and says, hey, I saw a couple of friends of mine playing softball, and they said it was a great show. And then I go, oh, Bob from Los Angeles sent a message on Twitter and said it was a great show. And then I copy and paste it and then send it to Lou because he's not on social media at all. He's like, how do you know
about getting into MySpace? But
yeah, good luck trying to find MySpace. There's no space left on MySpace, all right?
Damn,
there's nothing there.
Another opportunity ruined.
Yeah, it's ruined.
Tickets ruined.
But it's last week I got a Twitter. It was a guy who somehow on Twitter saw the message, and I forgot his name. I wish I could have his name so give him props. He's on Showtime. He's a sports betting analysis guy, and he's all about betting on
Crackman.
Sports. Yes.
That's not his full name, but he goes on, I think, Crackman.
Crackman. And he sent me a tweet and said, oh, I am so happy about you guys doing this. And he retweeted it, and I got, a ton of extra followers and other guys and girls saying, oh, this is great. So we really appreciate it. It's really cool. And look, it's not because they like us.
No.
It's not because they're like, oh, that Joe Conti, Louis Fats.
It's a subject matter.
I think it's a subject matter. But we got to do a good job.
Oh, we do.
And
yeah,
it's from what, all the accolades we're getting, like Edward Lily White Norton on Facebook. He has been very instrumental in helping us.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
Yeah, on all the Honeymooners group pages and all that. So thank you all. We really, really appreciate it. And so we were talking a little bit before the show, and I mentioned to you, I was a big fan, hard to believe that I was a big fan of the Honeymooners like you, but I was also a fan of the Flintstones. That's what I meant.
Right.
I love the early Flintstone episodes.
Yeah.
Once the kids,
before Gazoo and the kids and all that stuff.
Yeah, even though I love Harvey Corman.
Yeah, Harvey Corman.
That was the one great thing about Gazoo.
Yeah,
just to hear Harvey Corman call somebody dum-dums
was
just great, right? You know, Harvey Corman was awesome. But once the kids got involved, just like any of those sitcoms, the ratings start to dip, so they throw in kids.
Exactly.
They call it, I forgot the name of it, but like Oliver from the Brady Bunch was like one of the first big ones where they threw in other young characters to try to get the ratings back up.
Okay.
And they always say, yeah, when they start putting babies in and young kids, it's on its way
down.
It's just not going to happen. So
thank God the honeymooners had no kids.
No kids.
To get in the way of anything.
Now, I do know that in the Lost episodes, they had some episodes or one or two episodes where they were talking about having a kid.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And it was all the – look, they were when they were doing the Lost episodes, obviously they were throwing things against the wall and seeing what would stick. Mm-hmm. And it was all about – and what the cool thing about watching some of the Lost episodes is one dude, I think his name is – another guy named Lou, mm-hmm. Was telling me there are a couple that are – that were, as he said, worthy to be part of the 39.
Okay.
And he gave me – I got – and you know what? The next one we do, I'll get the names of them.
Okay.
And I told him too on Twitter, I said the cool thing about watching the Lost episodes – are watching the characters that you know how they are. You know how they, what they became. It's almost like if you're watching video of, Jim Brown as a child playing football.
Right.
You're like, you know how it turns out.
Yeah.
And you get to go, you're watching him develop. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're watching an 8-year-old play football knowing that he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right. Right.
So you get to watch these characters in their infancy, mm-hmm. where they're not polished, it's not 100%, but you see where it's going. Mm-hmm. And I find
the production's a little different.
Yeah.
It's very grainy.
Yep.
And just talking about that, I did a little background check on the electronic – it's called Electronicam, which is what they recorded on. Now, I'm not a tech guy. I'm baffled by how electric toothbrush works.
Yes, I was going to say. You're amazed at the microphone.
Yeah, yeah. This is amazing. It's in front of me. And the electronic cam system was what made the reruns easier, the way it was filmed.
Oh, okay.
It was less grainy. It was kind of like the precursor to videotaping, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And if anybody wants to find out, just Google it and find out yourself, because I really can't explain it. But another thing I found out interesting about it was it was on the Dumont. The Dumont system was what he was on before he went to CBS. And Dumont developed a lot of the cameras and stuff, the Dumont Labs. Funny, it's actually in Clifton, New Jersey.
Is it really?
Yes. At the time, and I thought we were the greatest thing to come out of Clifton, New Jersey. I stand corrected. We're the second thing to come out of, the greatest thing to come out of Clifton. Pays to buy the best.
Yeah. Pays to buy the best. I'm trying to cover up a cough. I should have kept it on. He did that joke twice too.
Yeah, twice.
And it killed both times.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And then Dumont, I think, just went out of business or whatever.
Okay.
But
probably
they did develop. They did
else.
Develop that camera system, that recording system.
Wow. That is fascinating. Yeah. I would have never. And then it's right here.
Yeah.
Right here. Not in.
Not in California or someplace else. It's right here. Yeah. Clifton, New Jersey. Famous
not
for Corrado's Market.
North Dakota.
Not Bismarck, North Dakota.
Not Bismarck, North Dakota. I love when he did that because his head shaked. North Dakota. It was all about the Dakota. Bismarck, North Dakota. you know what? This off subject, but my good friend, the guy Otto, who I told you about, who, kind of was the reason how I got into the Honeymooners deeply. He used to know because Otto was a ventriloquist act, Otto and George. If you ever want to just make sure there's no children around or any Christians because they will lose their mind. It's filthy stuff. But he used to be friends with a comic named Bob Woods, and he was a big giant man, and he would do a whole bit about the Honeymooners, and he did the Ralph and Ed impression, and he would do a bit.
Mm-hmm.
His Ralph Cramden is so great.
Right on.
So if you want, he passed away years ago. I never met him. But if you go on YouTube and you put Bob Woods and you'll see, and his, like, even the facial expressions, like, you think it's a reincarnation of Jackie Gleason. Yes. It's so good. So if you want to check that out, it's Bob Woods on YouTube. If you just put Bob Woods, the Honeymooners, it'll come up.
Because I can see Gleason's facial expressions are difficult to do.
Yeah. And he would do it where he would with the clinching of his mouth and the looking up. He was so good. Yeah. So Bob Woods, definitely check that out. But so we were talking about the Flintstones,
right?
How we were huge fans of the Flintstones, and this is where it ties in: is that without the Honeymooners, there would be no Simpsons, no Family Guy, no American Dad, no South Park, no, none of them. And I don't know how it would have somehow developed, but the sole reason that The Simpsons and then Family Guy, all these shows, was because of the Flintstones, because the Flintstones were the first cartoon. They never thought. I was watching a whole thing about Hanna-Barbera and Warner Brothers. Nobody ever thought of doing a half-hour sitcom-like show in a cartoon.
It was prime time.
Yeah, it was prime time.
In color in the 60s.
Because they were all 7 to 10. We all remember the old Looney Tunes things.
Oh, yeah.
It was all 5 to 7 minute clips.
Yeah.
And because of the Flintstones, and obviously the Flintstones are 100% because of the Honeymooners, obviously.
Yeah, that's why they can make it a half-hour show, because you're taking the Honeymooners show.
Right.
Putting in a cartoon.
Of course, with a cartoon, then you have a lot more options.
Yeah. Substituting the water buffaloes.
Yeah.
For the raccoons.
For the raccoons. I mean, there's so many, you know, Fred and Ralph both have that same type of personality.
Yeah. Loud mouth.
Wilma. Pretty redhead, same as her. He didn't get along with his mother-in-law either.
Right.
The Barney Rubble, wacky neighbor. And even, you know, Betty, who might have been a little... But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But, yeah, so there are so many things that it's obvious. I mean, we all know this. We're not breaking ground by telling you that the Flintstones are based on the Honeymooners. But because of the Honeymooners, in fact, there would be no Simpsons, no Family Guy, none of them. And who knows how they would have developed, but it obviously wouldn't be the same.
Because they became adult cartoons.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
They were adult cartoons.
Yeah.
So.
Even the Flintstones was an adult.
It was an adult cartoon.
It was an adult cartoon.
When it came out, it was on primetime.
Right.
You know, you're talking 7:30 or whatever it was.
7:30, 8 o'clock or whatever it was,
You know.
And granted, it was a cartoon, so it's going to appeal to children because we were all just always attracted to cartoons. But let me tell you something. The first, I had a VHS tape back in like 1989. It was the first four episodes. The first episodes of the Flintstones. The first four episodes. The swimming pool, No Help Wanted. These four episodes, me and my friend Bill, who I've been friends with for like 30 years, we still quote lines from those four episodes. They are so funny, and they're so well written. You know, obviously in the later years, it became about the animals and the tricks and all that. But it was so Honeymooners-esque.
Yeah.
It was all about the dialogue and the way. And Fred was a lot more brutal to Barney than Ralph was ever to Ed.
Right.
But it was a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
You know he could smash him over the head with a bat, and it was okay.
And you're still appealing to children, like with the animals in the background, and the kids with, not listening to actually what's going on, but just watching the visual.
Of course.
You know, look at the animal do this, and, the animal is the crane, and like we spoke about, the bird is the record player.
The bird is a record player. And it's adorable. I get it.
Yeah.
But it was never, just like when you say and not that there's anything wrong, they became iconic parts of the show, but the bang zooms and to the moon, those things don't appeal as much to the big fans because we dive so deep into it. Same thing.
But during the show, the bang zoom got laughs.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of, you got to remember one thing here. We always forget this because of, in this modern society we're living in with videotaping and DVRs and stuff like that. Back then, you're watching a show, okay? You miss a joke. You basically missed a joke.
You missed the joke.
You had to wait 10 years
until
1966 when they started running.
Exactly.
The
or your friend had to tell you what he
said.
So
you missed out. You missed out. When you missed them days, you missed.
You missed out.
You missed out. So,
exactly.
And then...
So probably when... And let's face it, there wasn't as much content, nearly as much content on... So when something so big metaphorically... Whether it was him saying, you're going to the moon, and with his fist out. He had his fist right at her chin.
Right.
Like, those were big, big moments. Mm-hmm. And I think that's – and obviously because they're very – like you said, they're so quotable. They're the easiest quotable lines in the history of sitcoms.
We got to remember, too, this is so fresh back then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so the first time you hear bang zoom – like, we've heard bang zoom like 8 million times from watching reruns. Now, the first time you're hearing this – it's funny, and then they're kind of like waiting for him to say it in future episodes.
Yep. Yeah.
Something you wait for.
Right. It became, what do they call that? That's A lot of the shows, they would have their...
like a signature...
Yeah, I can't think of the term. Like, Flo would have Kiss My Grits.
Right.
Which was terrible, by the way. I liked Mel. Mel was, like, the best part of that show, by the way. But, like, they all had their tagline. It was like a... It's not a tagline. Yeah. I can't think of the word, but it's a phrase that we all use.
You.
And they had their certain thing.
It's like, and you identify them with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, Lucy's was probably the, that was hers, and she had a bunch, too, but his was so identifiable.
Yeah.
It was, because it was, when was that last time, it was probably the first time anybody ever heard the word bang and then zoom next to it. Like, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Yeah.
But we know what it means. Yeah, hitting you and you're flying across.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
means. But it was, especially in 1955.
Hard enough to preach the moon. On your way to Pluto.
Yes, on your way to Pluto. Past Pluto to get back to the moon.
And the moon.
But, yeah. So and people who are listening are screaming at their phone or whatever they're listening on, telling us what the name of this thing is. But, so I wish I can remember. Yeah, but that was his. And it became so iconic. And because it was so great.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so many, you know, Kiss My, what is it, Eat My Shorts, Bart Simpson had,
right.
Like that was his,
yeah.
And they were all, you know, they were all fine, but being that we're such huge fans, we almost appreciate the Bang Zoom only because we know that that is the preamble to, you know, everything else that was part of the show.
That had a signature line to them.
Yeah.
Identifying line to a character.
Absolutely.
Starts with bang, zoom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
And we're always discounting it.
I know, because we, you know, you hear it all the time.
You know, I'm gonna probably say this every podcast we do, and I hope we keep on doing this for like 100 years, is I'm gonna keep on referring back to the point that this is 1955.
Yeah.
And we have to keep that in our mind because...
Right.
Like I said, there's no videotapes, there's no reruns, there's nothing. So you have to listen.
Yeah.
And hear that line, because you'll never hear it again.
Right.
So that's what they became iconic. That the Bang Zoom becomes iconic.
Yeah. And, well, actually, that's kind of like when me being a last name Conti, being Italian, one of my terrible faults as Italian is that I didn't see The Godfather until like 2010 or 2011. And my friend Otto was the first person, because everybody knew it. It was like, Conti, this is the guy that didn't watch The Godfather yet. Like, my parents were born in Italy. Like, how could you have not done that yet? And when I got to finally watch, and like, I had seen clips from it being on the film, but I never sat and watched the whole thing. And I sat at my friend's Otto's house, and he turns it on, and he puts a videotape in, and we start to watch. And you know what he said to me? He goes, you know what? I'm jealous. Of you. I'm like, why? He goes, because you're getting to see this for the first time, and I can't. And that's what you're talking about, because these people were hearing that for the first time. So even if they heard it the second time, it's the first time that they're really hearing that.
It's like J.J. Walker, Dynamite.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
People waited. You know, little kids are waiting for him to say Dynamite.
Right. Yeah.
That's the same thing with Bang Zoom and whatever other signature.
Absolutely. So, we may be a little, you know, but we're allowed to. We're allowed with it. We're fans. We do it in love. The fact that we're like,
We're not ripping it.
No, we're not ripping it, but we're saying, look, there's so much more. So much more.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say so much better, but there's so much more than that, which almost every person listening knows.
Exactly.
That it's so much more.
Basically one of the reasons why you're listening.
But it's okay, because you know what? If Bang Zoom is the book cover that gets more people to open the book.
Yeah. And that's it.
Then that's it. That's okay.
And it works.
Yeah.
And it works, and then we'll accept it.
Although
I do like that short Bang Zoom one.
Oh. Which one? Oh, when...
I believe that's when they're in Burt Wiedermeyer's house. He gives her the short one. Bang Zoom.
Oh yeah, that's when she says Tubby.
Tubby, something like that.
And he doesn't say, he just says, zoom.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. I always think of when he's doing when he's at the house trying to get Alice to go into the bedroom
Stanley Saxon.
Stanley, yes. Agnes, yeah. Yeah, when he's like, go in there and get my slippers. And he's like, go in, get it. The same kind of, it's that frustration and just, it's having to hold it in.
Yeah.
Like, that almost makes it funnier. It's like George Carlin used to say, suppressed laughter is the best. Like, if you have to, if you're making somebody laugh when they're not supposed to laugh, like he says, like when you're kneeling in front of the casket, which is really, really hilarious. But the fact that he was saying it, but he couldn't say it. That's what made it even funnier.
Talk to the master that way. But when you're
good, with the thumb going back. Oh, it's just so great.
Love it.
Well, you know what? I think we're gonna call it a show.
Okay.
Listen,
I'm gonna take a short show here.
We did 20 minutes.
No way.
Yes, we did.
We did. And you know, now we get into the trivia. It's going to take another 10
yes,
minutes.
Exactly. One yes, exactly. All right, let's get into the trivia. Let's do the trivia. All right. Last week's question.
If I remember it, I believe it was the address.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
I think it was. Okay. We'll ask you right now, and you have to answer it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a... kind of like an accepted address he uses on Chauncey Street. But there are, in one episode, it's when he's hiring the maid.
Yep.
He uses a different house number. So the question was, what were the two house numbers he uses?
Correct.
And the answer is 728 Chauncey
and 328
Chauncey, which is the acceptable address. That's
right.
The house he grew up in.
Yeah,
in Brooklyn.
Right? This was the last one.
Yeah, I think so. I hope
we're getting confused.
Yeah, here's the thing. We write nothing down here.
Right.
We don't want to lose our spontaneity. So we write nothing down. There's no production sheet. Like, Joe, you talk 3 minutes here and I come in and talk. Nothing. We want to make this like we're just conversing.
Yeah. We just have like a couple of like footnotes on what we want to talk about.
Three words. Yeah. That's it.
That's what I have.
Three words.
I have number six, episode six. And then I have three words.
I forgot.
Lost episode, Flintstones, and Freddie Mueller. We didn't even get to Freddie Mueller.
He'll be the next show.
Anyway,
getting this a little fact on his address, 328 Chauncey Street. Now, it's accepted in the show that they live in the Bensonhurst section of Brooklyn. For people out there who understand, New York City is made of five boroughs. Brooklyn is a borough. And within the borough, there are neighborhoods. They all have their names. Like you have Crown Heights and Bensonhurst and Kanazi. Places like that. Now, they use Bensonhurst, but Chauncey Street, it's not in Bensonhurst. It's actually in the Stuyvesant Heights, which is by Bedford-Stuyvesant, right below Bedford-Stuyvesant. But I guess, like you said, there's a thing with comedy. Some things just sound better, and maybe Bensonhurst just comes across better.
More so than Bed-Stuy?
Than Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Bedford-Stuyvesant.
It doesn't flow.
No.
But
just Bensonhurst, and then they get to say the Bensonhurst.
You got Brooklyn East in there, and you have Bensonhurst.
Yep.
It's like Erster Bay, like Norton Singer. Now, he said, where do you go to school? PS 31, Erster Bay.
Yeah.
Erster Bay is not Brooklyn. Erster Bay
is in Long Island.
Long Island.
Right.
But just to get him to say Erster.
Erster,
which he says twice, to a clam, I'm an Erster.
Yes,
so he does say it. It's just to get that Brooklyn East out there.
Absolutely.
So, we got a trivia there, and we got a fact in there, too.
Yep. And then now, do you have a question?
I have a question this week, too.
All right, we have to remember this.
You have to remember this. So.
Unbelievable. This could be the second one.
I know, this is like horrible. Anyway. Okay, here's our trivia question for this week.
Okay.
Where are we at? Episode six?
This is episode six. Right, I know that for a fact.
All right, for episode six. What was Alice's maiden name?
I actually know that one.
Okay, you should.
You're DEFCON 3. all right. Well, that's the that's it for next for the next week's show. All right. Listen, we want to thank everybody who is sharing the show and letting people know, especially the Honeymooners Facebook groups, like just the Honeymooners, the Raccoon Lodge, the classic 39 episodes. Once again, Edward Edward Lily White Norton. His Honeymooners, he does a Honeymooners podcast too called the Honeymooners Trivia Podcast, and he also does Raccoon Lodge Radio. He has been great helping us promote in all of these different Honeymooner groups. And
Sweet kid.
He's a sweet kid. Then there's my friend Doug Nelson. If you look him up, he's the one that did the artwork, the video, and all that. And me, I have my own show, which is the Conti and Kenny Show, which is just a regular podcast radio show that we do every Monday night on morelikeradio.com from 7 to 10. And you can just look up Conti and Kenny, subscribe. And anything you want to hear about me, I'm on all social media as Joe Conti Comic. So once again, thank you, everybody, for me and Louis Fats.
Who still has nothing going.
Still has nothing going. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.